Well, we're going to continue our study today, Summer in the Psalms, and today we're going to look at Psalm 112. Hear God's word. Hallelujah. Blessed man, blessed woman who fear God, who cherish and relish his commandments, their children robust on the earth, and the homes of the upright, how blessed. Their houses brim with wealth, and a generosity that never runs dry. Sunrise breaks through the darkness for good people. God's grace and mercy and justice. The good person is generous and lends lavishly. No shuffling or stumbling around for this one. But a sterling and solid and lasting reputation. Unfazed by rumor and gossip. Heart ready, trusting in God. Spirit firm, unperturbed. Ever blessed, relaxed among enemies. They lavish gifts on the poor. A generosity that goes on and on and on. An honored life, a beautiful life. Someone wicked takes one look and rages, blusters away, but ends up speechless. There's nothing to the dreams of the wicked, nothing. This ends the reading of God's holy word. When John mentioned to me about speaking on Psalm 112, meditating on that, I looked at the psalm and I came up with a couple words that I wanted to talk about, that I meditated on. This is not an all-inclusive list. This is not the words only, but these are words that spoke to me. And so I want to share them with you this morning. The first word that I want to share with you this morning is the word man. A man who fears God. I was very fortunate at a very, very early age. My grandmother taught me to fear God. Now, people think of fearing God, they think of that, you know, God's going to scare you and you have to fear him. And that, of course, is not what it means. When the Bible speaks of fearing God, it talks about respecting God, about revering God. The Bible says that fearing God is the beginning of wisdom. Fearing God means that you acknowledge God in all that you do and all that you say. When I was looking at this word man, then I started thinking of, because the psalm talks about children and also talks about woman, I was thinking of family. And so I started, being a guy, I started thinking about being a husband. Today, 17,258 days. Thank you, Debbie. I fooled her that long. But anyway, as I was thinking of a husband, early on in my counseling career, I had a couple, and the man, the husband in this twosome, his life verse was Ephesians 5:22, wives submit. He loved that verse. In fact, every counseling session, he would start off by saying, I just want to say one thing. The Bible says, wives submit. And he looked at his wife. You know, another man came home one day and said to his wife, you know, I made a decision that you're going to follow me in everything that I do from now on. You have to follow me. You have to do exactly what I tell you. You cannot say a word. I just make all the decisions. And tonight, you will make the meal that I want you to make. And after the meal is over, I want you to run a bath for me. And after I'm done with my bath, you're going to dress me. And guess who's going to comb my hair? And she looked right at him and said, the funeral director. Another word in this psalm is the word woman, a woman who fears God. There's a great example of a woman who fears God in the Bible, and that woman's name is Esther. Great story in the Bible. A beautiful woman. She won all the beauty contests. The Bible says that she had 1 year to prepare to get ready. 1 year of just spa treatments and everything else. 1 year. She won all the contests. She was Miss Persia. Everything was perfect, a perfect life, all the money in the world. But then The news came. Nobody knew, of course, but she knew that she was a Jew. And the word came down in this kingdom, let's kill all the Jews. Now, what would you do if you were in that circumstance? What would you be thinking about? Would you be scared? You know, usually there's three steps when something like that, when bad news comes. Step number one, what do? We try to figure out, we're going to do it on our own. We can figure this out on our own. We'll just do it by ourselves. If that doesn't work, we go to step number two, and that is, I want to call a family member or a friend, and they'll help me. That doesn't work. Step number three, we start praying. That's the way it happens, almost exactly in that order every time. What was her reasoning? What did she do when this news came down? The Bible says she prayed and fasted for 3 days. And she had all of her friends, family that knew what was going on, they also prayed and fasted for 3 days. Wow. Not why God, not God, that's not fair, but she prayed and fasted for 3 days. And then she did something very, very risky. You know what she did? She approached the king. That was very risky. In those days, you didn't approach the king unless the king asked for you. But her faith, her trust was in God, and so she approached the king. Now, you have to realize something. If the king did not call for you and you approached the king, let's put it this way, your head and your body could be separate. But she approached the king. Her faith was her guide. Her faith was her guide. Now, if you don't know the story of Esther, you need to read the rest of that book. It's a great story, the book of Esther. Short book, won't take you long. Read the book. Unfortunately, we many times are on autopilot. And God is pretty distant, except for two times. One, Sunday morning, and two, when there's trouble. This psalm speaks of trusting God. This psalm written maybe roughly 3,000 years ago, and we think, gosh, 3,000 years ago, Don, come on, it's an old book, you know, it's pretty dusty, it has no meaning. It's the exact opposite. It's alive. It's written in God's word. It's the living word of God for us today. We need to be trusting God in the midst of terrible times, of evil times. We are in that right now. Another word in this psalm that jumped out at me was the word children. The children will be robust. The children will be powerful. The children will be special. And you say, wait a minute, I serve God and my kids aren't doing that. They have a lot of faults. Your kids, their parents, they have faults too. One thing I learned in 30 years of youth ministry is this. Never, never, never give up on a kid. Always pray for them. Always encourage them. Always model God's love to them. Because you know what? God hasn't given up on you. We shouldn't give up on children. Need to pray for them. Need to encourage them. Need to be their model. You say, wait a minute, my kids are just so far all out there. You know, I say, do not limit my God. Another word in this psalm is the word blessed. We are, I am, you are blessed in a lot of different ways. But because we're in this room right now, we are blessed having First Church of Christ as our church. Is it perfect? Absolutely not, because you allow me to be in the church, so it's not perfect. And I have to say this. Some of you maybe have only been to one church. Maybe you've not been to a lot of churches. I served in churches from Rhode Island to Miami. Not every church, but a lot of churches. There's something special about First Church of Christ. From day one, you people have opened your arms to Debbie and I, and we're family. From day one. You know where that starts? It starts with John Collins. We're very blessed. Is he perfect? No. But you know what? The people that he preaches to on Sunday morning, they're not perfect either. We're far from it, aren't we? We are blessed, blessed people. Another word in this psalm is the word wealth. Maybe today you don't feel wealthy. Maybe today you don't feel rich. You know, if happiness could be found in material things, then we Americans should be delirious with joy. Beyond description, we should be. Instead, what do? Try to get more things. That'll make us happy. The secret is this: happiness is not found in things. Happiness is not found in getting more things. Rather, happiness is found being with God. Happiness is found respecting Him. Happiness is found in seeking Him. Happiness is found in loving Him, serving Him, being in His righteousness. Happiness is found in delighting in His commandments, rich in God's character. Everybody in this room right now, you're very, very, very rich. You really are. And you think, no, not me. I'm poor. No, you're not. 700 miles off the coast of Florida is a country called Haiti. And if you've ever been to Haiti, I've been there. We are filthy rich. I've talked to a lot of people in Haiti that own the clothing they were wearing and the piece of cardboard they slept on, and that is all the material things they have in this world. And when I was in this mission project, and we were there for 2 weeks, the middle Sunday, that same person that had just clothing and a piece of cardboard, that same exact person was in church praising God. How does that work? How does that work? And you think, well, wait a minute, that's another country. Doesn't matter, Don. Okay, let's go to Appalachia, a couple hundred miles from here. There's poverty in Appalachia. We are filthy, filthy rich. We really are. Another word in this psalm is peace. You need to know something. Peace, God's peace, is not the absence of trouble. Rather, it's the presence of God. That's when you'll have peace, when you have the presence of God. When the presence of God is in your life, then you'll have peace. His grace is sufficient. We can be confident that no matter what's going on in this world, no matter what's going on in your life, that God is with you. We can be washed in His mercy. We can be living in His light. We can be surrounded by His grace. Okay, here's the news, people. In this world, there's two types of people. There's two camps. The NFL is in camp right now. You get to be in a camp today. There's two choices. Here's camp, the first camp I want to talk to you about. Are you in this camp? Two types of people, two camps. First camp, greedy, wicked, irritated, bitter, condemned, lost, unsaved, unfulfilled, and in slavery. greedy, wicked, irritated, bitter, condemned, lost, unsaved, unfulfilled, and in slavery to sin. That's one camp. There's another camp. This camp is generous, kind, blessed, happy, found, saved, forgiven, fulfilled, and free from sin. Generous, kind, blessed, happy, found, saved, forgiven, fulfilled, and free from sin. One camp or the other, one type of person or the other, you get to choose which one you are today. Which group, which camp, which person do you belong to? Which group do you desire to be in? Which group do you stand with? Which group do you belong to? This psalm, as I read it, as you looked at it, you might be thinking, he doesn't mean me. That looks all good up there in that Psalm 112. I mean, it looks pretty perfect. You still may be thinking, God, he doesn't want to use me. He doesn't mean me. Well, let me do you a favor this morning. Let me give you a short inventory of some people in the Bible that God used. Let's start with Abraham. He was too old. God used him. How about Jacob? Jacob was a liar. God used him. Joseph. Joseph was abused. God used him. Moses stuttered. God used him. Gideon was afraid. Gideon was a coward. God used Gideon. Rahab, she was a prostitute. God used Rahab. David was an adulterer. God used him. David was also basically a murderer. God used him. Elijah was suicidal. God used him. Jonah ran away. God used him. Peter denied Jesus. Jesus used him. Paul, he persecuted Christians. God used him. You want some more? The disciples, they fell asleep. God used them. They were fighting over who gets to sit beside Jesus at the table. God used them. How about the Samaritan woman? How do I say this in a nice way? She knew a lot of men. God used her. Martha was a worrier. God used her. Lazarus, he was dead, and God used him. God wants to use you. He's not finished with you. He wants you. He loves you. He wants to use you. He has a plan for you, plans to give you hope, plans to prosper you, plans to give you a future. Remember, very important. You ready? God is not looking for ability. God is looking for availability. I want to show you a short video. hope for. Any of those words describe you in that video? Hope for. One was for me, said orphans. 55 years I've been an orphan. 55 years. Hope is for you. Let me read a few verses to you from the book of Romans. It's a great book. Romans 8 is a great chapter in the Bible. Hear God's word. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else that he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even point a finger? The one who died for us? Who was raised to life for us? Is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us? Do you think anyone else is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way, not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. They kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. None of this fazes us because Jesus loves you. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Wow. This psalm goes on to talk about generous. We should be generous. We have so much. Look for ways this week that you can be generous to someone else. There are a lot of ways you can do that. This psalm goes on to talk about reputation. Do it this way from now on. What you're going to do, would you mind if it was in the front page of the newspaper tomorrow morning? Would it be all right if it was on the news tonight, what you're going to do? That'd be a good test for us. If you've never made that commitment to Jesus Christ, today would be a great day to do that. This hope that we talked about this morning, this trust that we talked about, is for you. Remember, it doesn't matter what you've done in the past, whatever sin you've committed, it doesn't matter because God loves you and is a God of forgiveness. A loving God who wants to embrace you. The good news is he doesn't force us to do this. It's a free gift from God. We need to accept the gift. So if you're here this morning and never made that commitment, today would be that great day to do that. Don't let the day close out without doing that. I would love to talk to you, talk to John, talk to somebody. Make that commitment to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the fact that you love us so very, very much. We humbly say thank you for your mercy and your grace that is sufficient. That no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, that you love us. Blessed is the woman, blessed is the man who fears God. Thank you for this day. We pray these things in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen.